facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to The Cale Clark Show. So glad to have you with me on this Thursday. And you can call me right now. Lines are open, 1-888-914-9149. It's a toll-free line to call to talk to me for free. You can also tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is as follows, at Cale Clark Show. The email address is Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. If you have show ideas, questions that you'd like us to answer, we'd be happy to take care of that for you. Well, speaking of Twitter, we've got an interesting poll up on the show account, so you can check that out. And I'm going to tell you what that is. There's been a lot of chatter in these past few days about virtual reality, about the metaverse, about augmented reality, AR. Those are two different things. I'll explain that in just a minute. Are you into this? Well, believe it or not, the Wall Street Journal's Joanna Stern, who's their senior tech reporter, actually went into the metaverse for 24 hours straight and lived to tell the tale. Better her than me. I'm going to be telling you about her experience in just a moment. But let me just give you the poll here. And these are the actual questions that we are asking right now. So the question on our show poll, as I'm pulling up my, my Twitter's really slow here. Which would you rather have? A, the metaverse. B, augmented reality, or AR. Might have heard about that. I'll explain that. Or none of the above. And producer Lucas, do you have the results in front of you right now?
I'm pulling them up as we speak. Okay, well, Last time I checked, though, there was an overwhelming majority that voted none of the above.
and it's still that way. It's 90% so far. Of the above. So
yeah.
So you guys, only 5% for the metaverse, only 5% for augmented reality. So they're tied at the bottom. We'll see if that changes during the show. So let me explain to you guys what's going on here with the metaverse. And the metaverse, another way to talk about this is VR. So the metaverse is VR, or virtual reality, and augmented reality is called AR. So that's something different. That's something completely different. I'm going to explain that in just a second. But let me just play a clip for you guys of Joanna Stern from the Wall Street Journal. She checked herself into a Holiday Inn Express to go into the metaverse for 24 hours straight. Check this out.
I set a few rules. The headset can come off to eat and go to the bathroom.
No.
Yes, I attempted to sleep with it on. I checked my phone only if it was urgent. I knew I had really made friends forever when they asked me to go to a comedy club by clicking on this portal thing. The club was so obviously fake, but my presence in it and the presence of all these other people felt really real.
Do you guys have wine?
Yeah, of course. Wine, hey, everything you want, just imagine.
I even felt awkward when the comedian hit on my avatar.
The girl that I was trying to find out your name, but I can't because hands all. I'm trying to be subtle.
I spent a good amount of time in AltSpace and came away thinking it's like an AOL chat room evolved, which I'm not sure is a good or a bad thing. I highly recommend meditation apps like Guided Meditation or Trip. It's oddly relaxing and peaceful. And had breakfast at the foot of Machu Picchu with a llama in the National Geographic app.
It's funny, this animal has legs in the metaverse. Why do animals get four legs in the metaverse and we get zero?
Meetings in the metaverse are a thing. Hi, Aaron. I'm Joanna. Nice to meet you.
Hi. Thanks for coming.
The idea is that instead of Zoom, you chat as avatars.
Okay, so you get the gist of it there. And yeah, part of the joke there, you kind of have to see the video to get the full effect, obviously. And we're going to put a link to this in the show notes. So you can check it out. But in the metaverse, in this virtual world that... this virtual universe that Zuckerberg wants to create for us to live in. Right now, you don't have legs. The avatars only are torso up. For some reason, the signal does not pick up people's legs. So that's why she said in the video, Joanna Stern, the animals have legs in the metaverse, but not the humans. But some people are against this. And one of the people who thinks this is not the way to go is a guy named John Hankey. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. He is actually the CEO and founder of a company called Niantic Labs. Niantic Labs. Now, you might not have heard of Niantic Labs, but you probably have heard of a product that they promote called Pokemon Go. That's their property. That's their game. And Pokemon Go obviously was all the rage starting back in 2016. And it's kind of making a bit of a comeback, apparently. There's kind of a new version. I guess there's some new Weedles and Squirtles that you can capture. I'll talk about that in just a second. So Steve Levy from Wired Magazine interviewed John Hankey, and he was like so against the metaverse, but he's saying, no. What we don't need is the metaverse. What we really need is augmented reality, AR. I'm going to tell you about that. It's a fascinating interview. So I want to know from you, if you want to call in right now, 888-914-9149. Do you want the metaverse? Does that interest you at all as a Catholic? Are there Catholic applications for this? Or are you into AR? Would you rather have augmented reality, smart glasses, stuff like that? We'll talk about that. Or none of the above, none of the above. 888-914-9149. And Steve Levy starts off his interview with CEO of Niantic Games, John Hankey, talking about how, hey, we can all agree that leaving the house is actually a good thing. And we haven't left the house that much during COVID times, really. And thankfully, things are opening up a little bit. And Steve Levy says, well, what if you're, when you're out for your little walk around your city, around your block, what if your walk was enhanced by encounters with historical figures who walked these streets back when they were cobblestone? Or if you could see extinct or even imaginary species along the road? Well, John Hankey, who is the CEO of Niantic, actually has made this happen already. He has sent millions of people on outdoor quests to capture imaginary cartoon characters. And that's obviously a reference to Pokemon Go. Now, Pokemon Go obviously is a game played with smartphones. And most of you guys have probably seen this. Maybe you guys are into this. Maybe some of you have played this. But there is actually a Pokemon. I've never played it. I'm not into games. I'm not a gamer. I used to play games a little bit when I was a teenager, slightly young adult. But I was more into sports stuff like Madden, NHL 94, that sort of thing. I once won a tournament. I won an NHL 94 tournament at a local video game shop. Anyways, that was one of the greatest achievements of my life. I went on to the next round. I lost to some other dude. Anyways, but even to this day, at the end of my street, it's a Pokemon hotspot. There's a park across the street from my street, and at all hours of the day and night, you'll see all these cars pulling up by the side of the road at the edge of the park, and you'll just see people parked all the way up and down the street. I'm like, what is going on here? And they're all sitting in their cars, looking at their phones, and they were playing Pokemon Go. Now, this is really big a couple years ago. It's kind of calmed down a little bit, but it still happens from time to time because it was a known Pokemon hotspot. You could grab these cartoon characters in the game, score points, whatever. And at the height of its popularity, I remember I took a ferry ride to the Toronto Island, which is the only way to get to it is by boat. There's an island out on Lake Ontario, and people actually live on the island. There's parks and stuff like that, things to do, but you got to get to it on a ferry, and then you come back. And I remember coming off the ferry, getting off on the Toronto waterfront, walking off with my wife, my family, some of the relatives. And we actually had to fight our way through a crowd of human zombies because there were 2,000 people on the waterfront all playing Pokemon Go because that was a hot spot to find these cartoon Pokemon in the game. And people were just zombies. No one was saying anything. There were 2,000 people there. None of them were talking. It was so surreal. It was so dystopian. We had to literally shove people out of the way. They're totally oblivious to our presence. We had to cut through this crowd to try to get to our car, and they're all looking like zombies for these Pokemon. So this is what augmented reality is all about. Now, augmented reality is a little different than the metaverse, because with the metaverse, you need to actually strap on this Oculus headset. It blocks your sight. You can't see. You're kind of looking through this headset. But with augmented reality, it's a little bit different. So you're still in the physical world, but your experience is enhanced by digital objects. So now, this was such a huge success, by the way. Not only was it a cultural phenomenon, but Pokemon Go has reaped to this day over $1 billion in revenue. Over $1 billion. Isn't that crazy? And here's what Steve Levy says, and this is a great line from the article in Wired. He says, quote, like Wendy sewing Peter Pan's shadow to his foot, John Hankey has been gradually binding the ephemeral to the real, providing a substrate for the merger of pixels and atoms that he sees as the future, end of quote. That's such a great quote. And to reference Peter Pan, man, those old Disney movies are still good. They're incredible technological achievements in their own right for their time. Remember Wendy sewing Peter Pan's shadow onto his foot? That's such a great analogy for what these guys want to do with augmented reality, with AR. So John Hankey hates the idea of the metaverse that Mark Zuckerberg is trying to build through Facebook. It's not called Facebook anymore. They call it Meta, as you know. They have changed the name of the company to Meta. And John Hankey, who founded Pokemon Go, he's big into artificial reality. He thinks we don't need the metaverse. People should completely check out of this. And he actually wrote a manifesto about this in the summertime, and it was called The Metaverse is a Dystopian Nightmare. Let's build a better reality. Okay, so they are hard at work here. Pokemon Go is kind of the foundation for a new technology that John Hankey wants to build, a new augmented reality technology called Lightship. And what they want to do is map the entire physical world to integrate it with digital objects. So basically what's going on with Pokemon Go is going to be happening on a much, much bigger scale. So do you guys remember Google Glass? Do you guys remember this? Google had these smart glasses and they had a little camera in the corner and people hated it because they felt like people were invading their privacy, taking pictures of them. So people who used Google Glass glasses were basically ostracized. And they still make them, by the way, but they're basically used by medical companies now, like for filming surgeries. You know, doctors will wear them as they're operating on a patient, stuff like that. There's still some applications for it. But I always kind of wanted a pair of Google Glass because just for like taking pictures of for example, my kid, because you always want to catch these moments as a parent. And if you try to get the kid to something cute, you want to take a picture of it. You want to memorialize the moment, but you really can't because the moment's gone. And you try to can you just like redo that pose? It's never the same. It's never the same. So wouldn't it be cool if there was something that was always filming all the time? You can always get that perfect shot. You can just go back. I don't know. That's kind of why I wanted it. But I know a lot of people aren't into this. And a lot of people were very, and maybe rightly so, they were kind of spooked by people wearing Google Glass on the subway. Are they filming me? What's going on? And so people who used Google Glass, there was a name for them. They were called glass, and then the next word, holes. And I didn't want to say that all together as one word because this is a family program. But this is far from the last pair of smart glasses that you'll see out there. As you might have heard recently, Facebook is working. Oh, sorry, now they're called Meta, excuse me. They're working on their own pair of smart glasses. Snap, which is the parent company for Snapchat, which is another app that I don't use. It's a chatting app, social media thing. I'm kind of more like Bill Belichick, coach of the Patriots. Hey, the Patriots are playing tonight, by the way, on Thursday Night Football. So Coach Bill Belichick, who's kind of an old school guy, he's not into social media at all. He was kind of tongue-in-cheek here when he said this, but one time at a press conference, Coach Belichick said, I'm not like these players. I am not into Snapface and InstaChat, which I thought was hilarious. That's such a great line, Snapface and InstaChat. Anyway, so Snap is working on their own smart glasses. Apple, that's going to be their next big thing. A lot of people are wondering, what's the next big thing from Apple? They haven't had a huge hit in a while. Well, I don't know if that's true. The Apple Watch is like dominating the smartwatch market. But their next thing, their next big thing is going to be smart glasses, Apple glasses. I don't know what they're going to call them, but there's definitely going to be a component of augmented reality. So this is happening. It's going to happen. It's going to be a big deal. So I want your take on this. Are you interested in this? Would you wear augmented reality glasses? Do you think there's like a Catholic application for this? Do you want it? Are you into the metaverse? Do you want to put on the Oculus headset and play these weird games and go to virtual comedy clubs and stuff like that? 888-914-9149. Check it out. you can call me and give your take on this. But anyway, so this is a fascinating interview that Steve Levy did with this guy, John Hankey, who founded Pokemon Go. He's really into this augmented reality. And he hates the metaverse. He hates the metaverse. And so Steve Levy asked this guy, why do you call it dystopian? Why do you hate the metaverse so much? And he basically said this. John Hankey said, quote, "It takes us away from what fundamentally makes us happy as human beings. We are supposed to be present in our bodies and to be out in the world," end of quote. That's an interesting quote, that it's taking us away from what's supposed to make us happy as human beings. We're supposed to be present in our bodies. So he went on to say that we picked up a lot of bad habits during COVID times. It was already pretty bad, the amount of time we were spending on screens, but now because of Zoom meetings or whatever, it's become even worse. Roblox, kids are playing a lot of games online, whether it's, you know, Overwatch or whatever, or Roblox. Apparently Roblox is a big deal. And that's a really, really bad habit. So the metaverse is really that times 10. You're going to spend like a lot more time in these virtual worlds. But what John Hankey wants people to do is to get outside. So this AR thing doesn't necessarily conflict augmented reality with getting out there in the physical world. So he says that a lot of the anger and unhappiness that's in society, which is kind of amplified by COVID, a lot of it is because we're not doing what our bodies want us to do, to be active, to be mobile. It's true, we're made to move. We're absolutely made to move, but we're not doing it as much as we should. So one of the good things, according to him, that came out of Pokemon Go is it was making people get out of the house. And yeah, they're walking around, you know, maybe young kids who maybe would be couch potatoes are walking through a path or something, or they're out walking around in the world. They're looking for Pokemon, but at least they're outside. So I don't know, maybe that's not ideal, but according to him, that's a win. So what he wants to do, this guy, John Hankey, with this augmented reality view, which is different from the metaverse, is that he wants computing to be with us. Okay, we're always going to have computing, but he wants it to disappear into the background and support what we're doing rather than completely replace what we're doing with this alternate universe. But that's what the metaverse is all about. It's kind of like this alternate universe. So anyway, so here's some possible applications for this, and this is where it could possibly factor into the Catholic world. So Steve Levy asks him, hey, if people are using these AR glasses or something like that, you can actually have some really interesting experiences when you're out in the world. So he said, I live in a place called Astor Place in New York City. So apparently there's this thing that happened in the 1800s there called the Shakespeare Riot. I have no idea what the Shakespeare Riot is, but that's what happened. So imagine if you're walking near Astor Place in New York City and you could see a reenactment of the Shakespeare Riot. Or let's say you go to Oxford, England, and you could actually hang out with an avatar of John Henry Newman. And then he's going to say, man, I'm going to convert to Catholicism here. Let me tell you about it. And he can give you a tour of Oxford. I don't know. Another example, you know, John Hankey says, well, what if you were a Ghostbusters fan and you're kind of walking by that apartment building on Central Park West, and you could actually see the Ghostbusters vortex on top of that apartment building, just like in the movie. And everybody else who's tuned into that channel could see the same thing, and you kind of geek out and talk about it. Or you could see King Kong climbing up the Empire State Building as you're walking by. With these types of augmented reality channels, it's like a digital addition to the world that's already there. I don't know, man. Would you want this, or do you want to just get rid of all this stuff altogether? So they talk about all kinds of things in the article, like, hey, kids doing a high school prom. Forget about decorating the gym. If everybody has their smart glasses on, they could just imagine all these decorations or something like that. But here's the crucial part of the conversation. I really want your guys' reaction to this. So Steve Levy interviews this guy, the creator of Pokemon Go. He really wants augmented reality. And Steve Levy says, it seems to me that all of this is still tweaking what our senses provide us in a way that denies our reality. That seems unhealthy in the same way like the metaverse that you're complaining about seems unhealthy. Imagine a kid who loves Harry Potter. And by the way, this dude's company has licensed the entire Harry Potter universe, so they could totally get you in a Harry Potter artificial augmented reality world. So imagine if you have a kid who loves Harry Potter. That kid could take the whole neighborhood and turn it into the Hogwarts world, and they would never turn it off. And parents always say to kids, you're living in a dream world. Well, this would actually literally let them live in a dream world all the time. And so this guy, John Hankey, says, well, I don't know. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. When you were a kid, didn't you ever fantasize that there was more to the world than what you were actually seeing? And Steve says, yeah, that's right. But I had to use my imagination. I had to use my imagination to think about stuff like that. When you go to Disneyland, people can recreate that stuff. Yeah, but then you leave Disneyland. That's the point. You don't stay in Disneyland all the time. And this guy says, well, why spend billions on creating these concrete theme parks when you can create it digitally? Why would you do that? Won't this increase your experience? Anyways, I don't know. He keeps fighting with them, saying, no, the augmented reality is great. Imagine having a virtual ticket hanging in the air that you see before you. That's your bus ticket before you hop on, or your plane ticket before you get on your flight. Or you see these arrows on the sidewalk that lead you to where you want to go on maps, you know, to the subway, or you're in the grocery store and you see on your lens in front of your eye, you see information about the product you're looking at. Oh, is it ethically sourced? You know, is it organic? These are the things that AR can do for you. But is this something that we should be wanting? I don't know. I want to hear from you guys. Call in right now, 888-914-9149. You are listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, and I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back. This has been a great chance for producer Lucas to get into all of the digital punk rock music that he's been craving. He played the Pokemon song on the way out. Now, I don't know what that was,
and I opened it.
Yeah, we opened the window a crack, and you just, you know, yep. Pretty much jumped out that window. Anyways, we're talking about this interesting little interview with the founder of the Pokemon Go app, and he hates the metaverse. We talked about Wall Street Journal reporter Joanna Stern, the senior personal tech reporter there, going into the metaverse for 24 hours straight. I'm glad she did it and not me, and had some interesting experiences there. But this idea of immersion, total immersion in this virtual reality world, which is what the metaverse is not for everybody. And so the guy who started Pokemon Go says, no, we need something else entirely, which is augmented reality. That's where you're in the world, but there's some digital help with your smart glasses, and things will pop up and you can see some things that augment your experience on this planet. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We put up a poll on our Twitter account at Cale Clark Show. Do you prefer either the metaverse, augmented reality, AR, or none of the above? And over almost 92% so far are saying none of the above. We don't want to have anything to do with this, but I want to hear what you think. Let's go to the phones right now. 888-914-9149 is a toll-free line to call. We're going to go to Heather in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Hi there. Hi. Great. Thanks.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Well, I had some thoughts about this. It was interesting that you mentioned Disney, because our family just recently had a trip to Disney, and our favorite ride across the board for all 9 of us was the augmented reality type ride that is Avatar. We haven't seen the movie, but it's a ride where you ride an actual animal kind of being. I haven't seen the movie, so there's a name for it. And you feel kind of the sights and sounds and the otherworldly of the movie, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And so we had lots of talks about this with the kids. The kids brought it up, actually, asking us if we would want to live in that place all the time.
Huh. And what's the consensus on that? Did they want it? I mean, well, what are the planets?
Yeah. It was beautiful and it was amazing, and we rode the ride more than once because we loved it so much. But surprisingly, our 9-year-old, just turned 10-year-old at the time, was the first one, and this is the artistic one of the bunch that loved the beauty of the augmented ride and the world that they presented. She said, "No, I would not, because it's not totally real." Hmm. And she said, "I couldn't interact with all of you in the room. I just wish I could have talked to you while I was doing it." And it got us to kind of thinking about that, because when I was talking to probably your producer there when I called in, I had just said, I used to work in PR marketing. Okay. And so in a way, I'm pro social media, but our family's actually chosen to get off Facebook completely and not do social media, because we found out it was really, in some ways, this alternative world of not true in a lot of different ways, or emotions that were being created by situations. And I had just kind of said to the producer that I think for our family, the big flashing caution sign with both that ride and that question from our kids and like social media kind of colliding is that with the ride, we chose to go into that ride with the people that were there with us into that room for that ride for a
time. That's a good point.
But if someone's wearing glasses or interacting with us in public, they're putting us into that in some way, whether it's taking photographs or whatever. And they're also in a situation where we can't interact with them, which is what our, you know, 9-year-old, almost 10-year-old was saying at the time that she already figured that out, that was a problem.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring that up because I'm not an anti-Facebook person, but like I said, we just decided not to be a part of it anymore for that reason.
Heather, you raise a lot of interesting points with that phone call. So thank you very much for that call. That was Heather in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Really interesting take. There are obviously a host of privacy issues. There's already a huge issue with privacy and social media as it is right now, but with respect to the metaverse becoming a thing, and you better believe that Mark Zuckerberg is bound and determined. This guy's a determined guy, and he is not easily dissuaded. So he's going to fight tooth and nail to make this happen. And there are all kinds of privacy issues with this type of thing, with AR and the metaverse, virtual reality, that, man, it just raises a whole lot of stuff. I mean, when Facebook announced they were going to be making these glasses, the first thing was, are people going to be able to tell? If somebody's wearing the glasses and they're filming, is there going to be a light on the glasses or something, like a TV camera when you're in the studio? The red light, that's the camera that's on. Or not. And apparently, whatever is there can be easily obscured anyways. Like, it's very, very tiny. You wouldn't even be able to know if it's on or not. Anyways, this is just... And spyware, obviously, that's a huge thing, especially overseas. And it's just kind of sick, really. There are these micro cameras that people are putting in bathrooms and stuff like that, and then filming people without their consent. It's pretty scary stuff. So that's all part of the mix as well. So Heather, thank you very much for that call. And it's there's a lot to think about here. Let's go now to Joe in Arizona. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Are you a Jimi Hendrix fan? Yeah.
You know, not so much.
Okay.
I probably should be as old as I am, but just but when I like all types of music.
Just when I said, "Hey, Joe," I felt like saying, "Hey, Joe," like Jimmy did. But anyways, that's
I enjoy all kinds of music. So I like music that tells stories, even if that story isn't my story, but it kind of opens my eyes to somebody else's reality. I think that so Jimi Hendrix is good with that. So.
Yeah. Hopefully the subject matter of the song, "Hey Joe," is not your personal reality. But anyways, let the reader understand. Let the listener understand. But that's not what you wanted to talk about, Joe. So what's your take on all this stuff?
So I run a makerspace, and I have virtual reality equipment available for students to use. And I also belong to a group that believes in the future of education in virtual and augmented reality. And I can tell you right now that whether you like it or not, it's here. And in the next 5 to 10 years, it's going to change the way we learn. It's going to change the way we operate things. It's going to really, in a good way, and possibly in a bad way if we don't watch things, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to do good things for us. And so there's good reasons for full-on immersion, which would be virtual reality. But augmented reality, think about, like, walking up to a church.
Yeah.
I think, like, in maybe putting it in your perspective. And being able to have augmented photos of famous people that have been at that church, famous, maybe the Pope visited that church, and maybe they can have pictures of the Pope and maybe to be able to hear what the Pope said and where he was, and to be able to stand there, or anybody. It doesn't have to be the Pope.
Hey, Joe, I'd be content if I was wearing AR glasses, smart glasses, I'd be happy if they just showed me the mass times. That's my little pet peeve. Every church website, you have to dig through like 18 menus to find the mass times. That's the number one thing I'm looking for. Anyways,
about,
all you parish webmasters out there.
You're in a new church. How about it shows you the best way to go to the restroom? How about if you're in some way, maybe you're in a wheelchair, maybe it shows you the best way to get to the handicapped restroom.
Yeah.
Just by wearing some glasses, it can show you a green stripe on the floor, just like
that
insurance commercial from a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to think, Joe, I think the augmented reality, we're kind of out in the world with just some digital enhancements. If I have a choice, I'm picking that over total immersion in a virtual reality world like the metaverse. Although I can see that there would be applications for it. There'd be good. So, Joe, can you just give me an example of a good use of the metaverse or this virtual reality immersion?
Okay, so for total immersion, okay, think about wanting to learn about a whale. And so you want to learn about that whale. You want to learn it from the person who is just the most educated person on whales, right? So there's this professor, and she's the most educated person on whales. She's the person that you would want to go to. Well, she's in a school that's on the other side of the planet, and she teaches and lectures, and you can, you know, there's like 500 people, maybe up to 500 people in her lecture hall that can see her with a screen behind her that maybe has some images of a whale, right?
Yep.
And she can talk about a whale, and she can give you the best information ever. Well, now take that into virtual reality, right? And so now you're listening to this whale expert as she talks to you about a whale, and you're sitting on a shipwreck on the bottom of the ocean.
Wow.
And this whale swims by you, and you can see the scale of that whale. You can turn that scale translucent. So you can watch the digestive system of that whale. There's so many, you can blow that whale up. You can zoom in and look at the heart. You can isolate any system on that whale.
I could see that would really transform education in a lot of ways. So, you know, I can see that a limited use. I wouldn't want to live in a virtual reality world all the time, for sure. But I could see that being a thing.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. Yeah. You're right. It is going to happen. It is going to change the way we do a lot of stuff, including education. I could see that. And that's thanks for that, Joe. Joe, really appreciate that call. A lot of interesting points that you made there. That's really great, because Joe obviously works in this technology. That was Joe in Arizona. Really appreciate that call, Joe, and appreciate the listen. And yeah, that sounds like a whale of a time, doing something like that. But anyways, that's my lame attempt at humor. But anyways, maybe we'll do a metaverse version of the Cale Clark Show one day.
You
could actually
interesting.
like hang out with us in the studio and see me like surrounded by, you know, empty Halloween candy wrappers and stuff like that. Oh wow, this get me out of here. I don't want to be in
that
here.
Actually, it would be pretty cool. I think that'd be pretty cool.
You know what, we'll probably do it one day. We'll probably live to see the day, Lucas. I don't know. But okay, let me go to Marco in Bakersfield, California. Hi, Marco.
Hi, Cale. When you talked about having, you know, getting to experience like actual movies, like you said, Harry Potter, the first thing that I thought of was the final scene in Avengers Endgame when everybody gets together and it's like an entire war. That's something I would love to, you know, experience if I get the chance.
Yeah, I could listen. I'm a superhero fan. I'm with you on that. I gotta say, I probably wouldn't be able to resist that if I could get into, you know, an Avengers game or Yeah, in the first Avengers movie, right? When the aliens attack New York City. I mean, that's pretty wild. That'd be kind of cool to have that experience. But anyways, that's, I don't know. Maybe I'm softening to this whole thing, Lucas. I don't know. I'm kind of opening up to the metaverse here. I don't know. But at the end of the day, what's interesting about this to me, and thanks for the call, Marco. Really appreciate that. Is in that interview that the creator of Pokemon Go gave about when he was talking about augmented reality and how this is a good thing, he said, one of the things he said was, when you were a kid, didn't you ever fantasize that there was more to the world than what you were actually seeing? Well, we do know that there is more to reality than what we're actually seeing, and that's the spiritual realm, that's heaven. We can't see it with our physical eyes, but it's all around us. And yeah, we're never going to be able to come up with, through human technology, any kind of an app that's going to help us to see the spiritual realm. But that's exactly what the writers of Scripture talk about. When you look at, for example, the Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about all these great saints from the past, heroes from the past. It's the hall of fame of faith. It says in the very next chapter, at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now imagine if we could see all that. Imagine if we could see the saints cheering us on from heaven. And we're kind of surrounded. Heaven contains earth, just like, as we've talked about before, just like the earth contains the womb. The baby in the womb doesn't know about all the stuff that's going on outside, trucks, cars, buildings, lakes, forests, mountains. And when they're born, okay, they get to experience all this stuff. But the reality, the actual reality, forget about augmented reality, the actual reality of heaven, which is more real than this earth, is all around us. And imagine if we could see with our physical eyes Jesus seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. So I think we do need to use our imagination a little bit. I do think imagination is important for us, even as adults, not just as young people. Kids are into imagination, but I think when it comes to our Catholic faith, and Lucas, I know you think about this a lot too, our imagination is really important.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I just saw a piece in the New York Times the other day, and David Brooks was making the case that we need to cultivate our imaginations more, because our imaginations can actually be a faculty for perceiving truth. I could talk a lot about this subject. My mentor, Dr. Holly Ordway, has done a lot in imaginative apologetics and how literature can be a vehicle for creating meaning to the truths that we believe in our faith. So, you know, reason is helpful for ascertaining certain truths, but a lot of the times imagination is what makes it meaningful, and you can kind of have that aha moment of, okay, I don't just know the truth, I understand what it means now. I can kind of see it, I can feel it, I can imagine what it's all about, you know?
I'm not gonna sing that. It's the worst song of the 20th century, Imagine by John Lennon. But we have to use our imagination for good. We certainly don't want to we don't want to use our imagination to conceive of a world without God or religion. That would be wrong.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, because we are still fallen creatures, so sometimes our imagination can go too far, so we do need to reel it in with, you know, actual reality and the truth and people like that. So.
But I think in some ways, like, technology is actually preventing people from using their imagination for these things because, for example, you mentioned literature. When people are reading books, they naturally have to conjure up these images in their minds. But when they're watching screens, when they're watching movies, everything is kind of provided for them in terms of that vision that they're interacting
with.
That's
a really interesting point.
You see this with kids, right? Kids kind of become zombies as soon as the screen is in front of them. And I think that can happen to adults too. But can you give me an example? Holly Ordway's imaginative apologetics. How would that actually work for apologetics or explaining Catholicism?
Yeah, so it's not like an explicit apologetic per se, like you're trying to prove the existence of God, but what it is a subtle way of, as a writer, for example, if you're telling a story, and I'll just use a kind of a classic example here, like a story like The Lord of the Rings, one could argue that that is a work of an imaginative apologetics. Now, that wasn't J.R.R. Tolkien's intent, but his Catholic imagination just completely goes through that entire story, to where you see things like, especially at the ending with the kind of you catastrophe when the ring goes into the pit of doom.
My precious.
There's a lot of examples, but it's these kind of, it's an imaginative way of telling stories that resonate deeply with the gospel, but it's not actually. So if you know somebody who's like, I wouldn't ever like accept the gospel of like reading the Bible, but I really love the Lord of the Rings, but it's like, well, there are a lot of gospel things in the Lord of the Rings, even if they might not know that, you know? So I think that's just kind of one way of doing it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. That's a great point. And so, yeah, lots to think about here for sure. When we think about the metaverse, we think about apologetics, we think about how we actually want to live our lives, how much of our lives do we want to be infiltrated by technology. Sometimes it's helpful, sometimes it's a hindrance. Anyways, this all calls for wisdom, so we need to pray a lot as we go through this ever-changing world. Going to be right back on the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149.
This is the Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Sorry, didn't mean to break your radio. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about the metaverse, augmented reality, smart glasses. That doesn't really, you know, immerse you. You're still in the world, but there's some digital information or avatars that might pop up to help you or hinder you, depending on how you look at it. I want to get your take on this. Is this a good idea? Is it a bad idea? How can we interact with this as Catholics? We're going to go to the phones right now. Joanne is calling from Hawthorne Woods, Illinois. Hi, Joanne.
Yes. Hi, Cale. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My thought as the mother of five, where my oldest is already 42 and youngest 32. The bottom line is, if they grew up in the culture of video games and whatever began as the early stages of this technology, was at least confined to, you know, that game, or even when the books came out, for example, on Harry Potter, the excuse was that, oh, you don't have to worry that it's going to affect your children's faith because it's just a story. It's just pretend. And my fear is, with this technology, that there's too great a risk for the evil one to basically use this technology to supplant the time that we have each day, which is very limited, whether to pray the rosary or read scripture, listen to, you know, the Faith Explained, and
That's a good idea. Raymond,
all the various ones, that it would be typical of the evil one to say, oh, I can create something better than God, or contemplating his universe through the natural means that he gave to people through their own body and mind.
Well, Joanne, that is, you've raised some profound topics there. I want to hop in there. Thank you very much for that call. God bless you. Mother of five, has raised five adult children, and obviously the world's changed a lot from when your kids were young. And Joanne, you mentioned a couple of things there that I really want to glom onto. Number one, this idea that our time is limited every day. So the more time we're spending on tech, the less, I mean, unless you're using your tech to, for example, you might be using the Relevant Radio app, which is always a great idea, right? Wherever you might be you can check out a Catholic show on the go, whatever. Whether it's, The Inner Life you mentioned, Josh Raymond, always does a great job. Shout out to Josh. So many great shows on Relevant Radio. So that's a way that we're using technology to help people find God. But if we're not careful, we could be, and what you said earlier, in the old days of video games, you could only really get onto tech at certain times and certain places, and the rest of the time you're kind of in the real world, quote unquote. Whereas now it's so ubiquitous, it's all over the place, and especially with smart glasses, I mean, you're constantly connected. You're constantly connected, and it will be actually literally right in your face, right in front of your eyes. You don't even have to look down at your Apple Watch or your phone. You will just be staring blankly at the lenses in front of you. I don't know, but reading your email on your smart glasses, I don't know. Maybe some of this could be cool, but one of the other things that you mentioned, Joanne, was this concept that the enemy could use this. The enemy could use this. Now, I think a lot of this tech is potentially neutral, maybe not 100% neutral, but it can be. It's like money, right? Money is neutral. It can be used for ill or for good. But doesn't the Bible say that money is the root of all? Actually, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which is certainly true. But money in itself is neutral. It could be used for good or for ill. And it's kind of a test in a certain sense, how you use this. Can you be trusted with it? It's stewardship, right? But the same is true for tech. The same is true for the internet. I mean, that's a technology that's not going away. And we're getting to a new level of the internet. It's going to be called Web3. I've talked about it a little bit on the show before. I'll talk about it again in the future. But Buster may have something to say about this. Buster is on the line calling from Washington, D.C. Hi, Buster. What's your take on this?
Hey, not wild about it. I'm concerned that it's like the internet. So the internet came, and there's been a lot of good from the internet, but I think there's been a ton of negative that might make it a net negative. I don't know if I believe that to be a net negative, but I do believe VR is a net will be a net negative because. Of pornography, because you know they're already thinking about let's make virtual reality pornography, so that'll basically amplify the effect of pornography that pornography has in our society. So then young men are going to be stay inside even more and not go out and start families, and they'll be basically castrated in a sense, not physically, but
yeah.
So they won't go out and you know, pornography is a means of, can be used as a means of political control, because people will stay inside and not want to change anything because they're all comfortable.
Yeah. Let me jump in there, Buster. Yeah, I mean, you've raised a good point that kind of piggybacks on Joanne's point that, you know, the enemy could use this tech, you know, for his own purposes. No question. He's always looking to use whatever he can to get people off track from God. And you mentioned the particular case of pornography. Obviously, that's been a big problem with the internet in general. And that leads a lot of people to question, as you mentioned, is the internet itself, has it been a net positive, no pun intended, internet, get it, or has it been a net negative, as you mentioned, overall, are we worse off for this thing? And I don't know if we can really adjudicate that question, but there's no question that people will use these new technologies to promote that kind of immoral activity and immoral content for sure, which could potentially be even more addictive to people than it is now. And be very damaging to them, as it already is, as we know. Think about Matt Frad, Catholic apologist. He did a lot of work. I don't know if he still has this, but he has had this website, a ministry called The Porn Effect, where he really does a deep dive into the deleterious effects of pornography on all of us, but on people, on society, on men and women, children. It's just horrific. And he gives some really good solutions about how to help people with that, too, to escape that. That activity and to be set free. And he's done a lot of great work in that area. So thanks to Matt for that. And I encourage you to check out his work on that front. I think we have time to squeeze in one more call, Lucas. Okay, let's go to Augustine in Phoenix. Hey, Augustine. St. Augustine, welcome to the show.
Hello, Kale. I just had a few points to make regarding AR and VR. For one, there is a lot of positivity, but at the same time, I think there's negativity. Like, in everything, there's positive and there's negatives. But I think that the negativity outweighs it all, because if you look at it, for one thing, what makes us good people and what makes men is the fact that they have to learn to cope with a lot of consequences. And just in fact, to be a strong person, you have to learn to accept consequences. And if you're going to be on AR or VR, what's going to be happening is you're going to be basically controlling your world. So what people want to do, no one wants to experience negative. They're going to be just constantly funneling themselves into something that they enjoy.
Wow.
And in our lives, if you think about it, we have to control we have to have areas of control. So, like, let's say you like food. Well, you can't eat too much or else it's going to be bad for your health. You have to control yourself. Or you have to control yourself in music. Or because anything that's upset, that's excessive,
part of temperance.
Is bad.
Yeah, let me jump in there, Augustine. Let me jump in there. Sorry, just because we're up against it here. We're almost out of time. But you raised a really interesting point that a lot of this, if you're living in a virtual world all the time, your choices aren't really that consequential at the end of the day, right? I mean, although obviously there are real people behind these avatars, for example, in the metaverse, like that example from Joanna Stern's experience. She goes, there are real people at this quote-unquote virtual comedy club behind the avatars. But any choices that you make, it's not that big of a deal. We can always fix it later. And you kind of live in this fantasy world. Whereas in real life, the choices that we make have real consequences. And that's part of what shapes us. It's part of what shapes our learning. Man, there's a lot to think about there. So thank you for that call, Augustine. Really appreciate that. And everybody who called in, we'll be back tomorrow. The Faith Explained, tomorrow, 12:30. Check it out. I'm telling you, it's going to be like a movie. You're going to want to... I'm just a little ad there for you. We'll be back tomorrow. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.